We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 1120 KMOX. Hey,
I heard you missed us. We're back. Yeah.
This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
Hey, look who's in studio. It's Hancock and Kelly.
Can you believe it?
Is it Friday? It's Friday already.
Wednesday.
Oh, it's Wednesday. Why are you here on Wednesday?
Nobody knows.
I don't know.
You know, I woke up this morning. I looked at my calendar. It says, Camel X.
And here you are.
I said, I better get ready.
Well, good to see you both on this kind of cloudy, rainy Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
All right, we'll make this first segment political, and then we'll move on to other things.
Oh, joy.
Okay. Ready?
Yes.
President Trump escalating his feud with the media by yet another degree yesterday, ordering officials in his administration to boycott Saturday's annual White House Correspondents Association dinner. This is according to Politico. Asked to confirm the Politico report, a White House official said in a statement that the president and members of his administration won't attend the dinner this year. Is this petty or an important move, John Hancock?
Oh, I mean, it's not that important. You know, it's sad. I used to love the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and, you know, the president would come up, and they would typically be pretty funny, and it tended to be bipartisan. Now, I will say, before Donald Trump came on board, that dinner began taking kind of a nasty turn. Some of the hosts, the comedians that they had MC it, were not appropriate, in my opinion. And so I don't think it's Donald Trump's fault that the dinner has gone the way it's gone. But it's a sad thing because it was, you know, for political junkies like me, I used to love watching the president be funny.
And I liked watching it, too. I think it humanized the president. But I think this is a president who probably doesn't want to have to go listen to a lot of truth being spoken about him. Remember when we used to worry about how often the president played golf?
I do remember that.
Huh. Just thought I'd bring that up.
So I guess they'll go on and have it without him.
Who cares?
Yeah, they'll have it, but it's not going to be what it once was. There was some great year. I remember George Bush brought up the impersonator of him one year, and
right.
They had the dual presidential podiums, and they went back and forth. It was, you know, it was hilarious.
It does seem, though, I mean, Donald Trump, when he was not president, he was roasted on Comedy Central and had a great sense of humor about it. But as president, he does not seem to have that same sense of humor at all.
Well, he had a bad experience at the White House Correspondents' Dinner as an attendee one year when Barack Obama was president.
Right.
And
the president
got a
made
little,
fun of him.
He did.
Which
happens
when you show up at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah. You know, and it's... you know, not everybody can do the self-deprecating thing. It's just not everybody's cup of tea, and I don't think it's particularly Donald Trump's cup of tea.
You need an evolved intellect to be able to handle, you know, self-deprecation.
Well, here's another...
It's the only safe form of humor anymore, making fun of yourself.
You can't,
yeah.
Well, yesterday, Jack Dorsey of Twitter and St. Louis native, of course, whose mom Marsha is listening, I'm sure, this morning.
Got his playoff beard going, I see.
He does, yeah. It's getting big. Anyway, Jack Dorsey was at the White House to meet with the president. And the president, of course, has been attacking the tech industry, threatening to regulate them and stuff. He contends that the tech industry censors conservatives online. They did discuss, apparently, a number of issues, but a majority of the time, according to the Washington Post, was about the president's concerns about the number of his followers. That's a big concern, Michael Kelly, for the president. And I think also he's upset that President Obama has more followers, and he is sure that this is some sort of thing that Twitter is doing to him.
I think this story just kind of stands on its own. I mean, the president of the United States is worried about how many followers he has. He's having a meeting with arguably the platform that elected him president of the United States. And he's concerned about his own vain self-interest. I think it really speaks to who Donald Trump is. And I don't know that there really is a rebuttal, John Hancock.
Well, let me see what I can do, Michael. You know, there are problems with social media. And there are political I do think, and I think Facebook, primarily chief among them, have been very disproportionate in the way they deal with conservatives versus liberals in that space. And
they allowed the Russians to steal the election. You should love Facebook.
The Russians didn't steal the election, Michael. Well, we're going to talk about that next hour.
All right. Well, we will take a break here. And when we return, we have traffic and weather together. KMOX News Time is 8:37.
Get ready for the Cards and Brewers this afternoon. Ameren Total Access 11:20. First pitch with Mike Shannon and John Rooney 12:15. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
KMOX News Time 8:43. I'm Debbie Monterey along with John Hancock and Michael Kelly. All right, this is a disturbing story. More than 12,000 Boy Scouts may have been sexually abused by troop leaders. The shocking revelation surfaced yesterday when court records from a January trial in Minnesota were released. Dr. Janet Warren, a psychiatry professor who worked with the Boy Scouts of America for 5 years, told the court the organization's files revealed the Scouts employed some 7,819 perpetrators whom they believe were involved in sexually abusing a child. They identified 12,254 victims. Now, the Boy Scouts don't deny these allegations. They released a statement that says, "We care deeply about all victims of child abuse and sincerely apologize to anyone who was harmed during their time in scouting. We believe victims, we support them, and we have paid for unlimited counseling by a provider of their choice." Now, John Hancock, how can so many of these cases have been reported, over 12,000 victims, and we're just finding out about this? Do organizations not have a responsibility to be more transparent?
Well, I think they do. And particularly, now, I don't know what the Boy Scouts policy is, but if you've got an operation that, you know, helps young people, it's a magnet for these perverts out there. And I know, you know, even the people we vet at my church, the people that work in the nursery. I mean, you go and you do background checks on people before you let them take positions of authority working with kids. And some of this can be prevented on the front end, but you absolutely have a duty to be transparent when you've got that. I mean, that's a shocking number.
Well, I have nothing to add to that. I mean, John's spot on. My question is what is going to fix this problem? We've seen this with the Catholic Church. We've seen it with schools. Now we're watching it with the Boy Scouts. Maybe should we start holding the leadership of these organizations accountable, force them to come out of the shadows and say, hey, look, if you've protected or hidden folks, you are going to be liable for protecting these folks. That hasn't been the case with the Catholic Church. It may not wind up being the case with the Boy Scouts.
We don't know exactly on this Boy Scout deal if they were hiding, you know.
Come on,
well,
John.
They didn't come forward with it.
12,000?
Well, what you don't know is whether at the local level they're informing parents that such and so guy was, you know. I mean, I would hope that parents know if you've got a problem in your local scouting troop, I would hope that, and yes, I do think the organization has a duty to inform that you've got a problem there. And I think you need to do everything you can to weed out those problems on the front end.
Well, I think at least the good news is we now talk about these things. I think some people are under the impression that this only happens now. This has been happening forever. Ever,
yeah.
And we just never talked about it.
No, I think that's right.
Okay, here's another thing we talk about a lot is the opioid epidemic in this country. And a lot of people now are pointing the finger at the pharmaceutical industry, which has been just basically peppering the entire nation with more pain pills than anybody needs. Rochester Drug Cooperative, one of the nation's largest drug distributors, has agreed to pay the federal government $20 million to settle civil and criminal complaints that it helped fuel the opioid epidemic. The New York pharmaceutical distributor, its former CEO and former chief compliance officer, were charged by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan with unlawfully distributing oxycodone and fentanyl and conspiring to defraud the DEA. Now, this is the first ever federal criminal charge against company executives for conspiring to illegally distribute opioids. Do you think this is a good move, Michael Kelly, and do you think more will follow?
Well, I guess, and yeah, I hope so. I mean, let's think about this. If you watch the baseball game this afternoon, there's going to be 20 ads telling you to go talk to your doctor about this drug. What's going on here? We're going to the doctor to tell the doctor about a drug they ought to sell us because the pharmaceutical companies and then we've essentially made a legalized drug dealer out of these doctors. I think we need to take a look at the whole global issue as it relates to the pharmaceutical industry and what we're doing to cause legalized drug dealing that's going on.
Yeah, the pharmaceutical industry has provided a great service to humanity. People are living longer. People that are dealing with things like, high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Hello. There's drugs that treat that make people healthier. And so, now, on the other hand, as it relates to these opioids, I think you're seeing a lot of states. Our own Attorney General Eric Schmidt is going after the opioid companies in Missouri. And I think much like the tobacco litigation of a generation ago, I think you're going to see a lot of states going after these companies, and these companies are going to end up settling some massive suit with the nation, and all the states are going to get some money, and that's how this thing plays out.
I want to put the power back into the doctors, actually, prescribing the drugs to remedy the situation a patient has, rather than coming in and the patient advocating for a drug they think they need because they saw some 45-second commercial of, pretty people hopping around telling them to go buy it.
Or you get prescribed a drug because some cute girl came in the office and gave you a pen.
Yeah, well, that does happen.
The whole system is messed up. And, look, I live on a pharmaceutical that I cannot deal without. We've talked about it on this program before. I've never once seen it advertised because it's not one of the sexy drugs that they want to advertise. And what we're doing, I think we are creating a culture of addicts by forcing this thought process into their head that they got to go to their doctor and get this.
I do love the side effects, though, that you're required. I wish they had to do that with every product that they advertise.
And
list
then
all
like,
the side effects.
Don't take if you're allergic.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
Might kill you, but it's good stuff.
8:49, we'll be back with round 3 of OT right after this.
This is Overtime.
Don't you understand? We can't stop ourselves.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
KMOX News Time is 8:51. Need IT solutions? Visit Marco at marconet.com. And the KMOX Mighty Mox Street Team at B. Hall's Family Grill in O'Fallon, Missouri, tomorrow from 4 to 6. Enter for your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Countdown to the Cup pre-party on May 16th. I don't know what that is. What's the Countdown to the Cup VIP party?
Lord Stanley's cup. Lord Stanley's Cup.
Got it.
The Cup.
The Cup. The Cup. Got it. I was thinking of Bud Light because they're sponsoring it. I'm like, we giving away cups?
Dilly dilly.
let's see. KMOX.com/events for all the details. Okay. Speaking of sports, I'm going to start with John Hancock here.
Yes.
On Thursday, the Independent Atlantic League begins its 2019 season, and they're kind of going to serve as a petri dish of sorts for Major League Baseball because they're experimenting with some radical rule changes that include the incorporation of a TrackMan radar system to call balls and strikes. So I guess they'd maybe still have an umpire standing there, but maybe not. Are you in favor of automatic strike zones?
Not really. I mean, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to baseball, and so I like having the umpire calling the balls and strikes. However, man, we've seen some really bad umpiring so far this season on balls and strikes. And if you could get it right and it could be scientific and it wouldn't make a mistake and you'd have an accurate read, I could warm up to the idea. But I do like the fact that players have to adjust to umpire strike zones during the course of a game. It's one of the things that factors into how effective a pitcher is. A guy like Yadier Molina has made a career of framing pitches that may not be strikes and getting them called strikes. So as I think this through, I'm against this.
Yeah, I think I am as well. I also wonder what it does to the statistics of over a couple hundred years of baseball. Now that you're going to implement an electronic strike zone, how does that compare to the way that Babe Ruth or even Albert Pujols hit? So I think it really helps tarnish some of the luster of the history of baseball.
All right. There are so many studies that come out that I think we maybe shouldn't necessarily take so seriously because in the next week there'll be another study that contradicts it. I'm thinking specifically of coffee.
Right.
This week I think coffee is good for us. Next week it'll be bad for us. I don't know. I lose track. But let's talk about breakfast. There is a new study from the University of Iowa. Researchers say it's skipping breakfast, it's supposed to be the most important meal of the day, can actually kill you. How about that? Are you scared yet? They say people who go without breakfast, it increases your risk of developing cardiovascular disease, and that people who miss morning meals have an 87% higher chance of suffering fatal heart attacks. Jeez. What do you think about that one, Michael Kelly?
I tend to believe it. I mean, look, I've started this weight loss program, and I've been off and on. And the one thing I've learned is you've got to treat your body like a furnace. And when you get a furnace started to get that metabolism going, you have to do it first thing in the morning. Otherwise, your body's still in that dormant stage where it kind of shuts down, et cetera, et cetera. So I buy into this, and I think breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and that's why I drank my protein shake before I came in to see
you.
Oh, people.
I was going to ask, what did you have for breakfast?
That's
right. A protein shake.
Good for you, Kelly.
John Hancock?
You know, they got these studies that come out. You know what kills you? Breathing and heartbeats. Because those two things have, everybody that dies has those two things in common. I mean, you're going to die from something. All of it, you know. Newsflash, we're all going to die.
But we'd like to put that off as long as possible.
I suppose. But here, you know, another study, and it just let people live.
It always shocks me the things that really get your ire up. I mean,
should we assume he didn't eat breakfast this morning?
I didn't eat any breakfast. I did have some. I made the coffee last night. I don't like to talk, as you know. But when I scrub the pot down whenever I make the coffee before bed, and it is so good in the morning. It's everything's pristine. You hit the little button, little gurgling of the. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, and I still have a little bit left in my cup here.
All right, so no breakfast for you this morning, John?
Yeah, that is correct.
All right. Hancock and Kelly.
I'm still here.
When do you eat breakfast? About 2:30 in the morning?
No, I eat it during the World News Roundup at 7.
There you go.
I had a bowl of oatmeal.
There you go.
So that gets my day started. KMOX News Time, 8:56.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.